Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here, and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone. In his final countdown series, and I think we're down to four at the present time, as we begin looking at what's going on in the world today in light of biblical prophecy. But before we get to Pastor Crone, I just want to briefly mention that certainly they have passed now this called stimulus bill. And a lot of people say it's not a stimulus, it's a spending bill, a massive, about $800 billion spending bill, as if somehow that is going to correct the problem that came from too much spending to begin with. But what people will not tell you is that the Federal Reserve System and the Treasury has already pledged, given, or actually lent out over, well, between $8 or $9 trillion as of the first of last year up to the present time. And now, of course, they're talking about this other $800 billion. And then Timothy Geithner is talking about several $1 trillion more of spending, massive spending. We've got to do massive spending to get out of the mess we're in. And you look at what's happened to Japan. They tried it, and it didn't work. And they're worse off today. They've even got a worse debt problem than we do. But I think people have to understand that the legislation that has passed is a stimulus. It's going to stimulate inflation and the destruction of the value of our currency. It's going to stimulate the profits of the large banks that created the problem. I mean, they're the ones, of course, who issued these toxic derivatives that they discuss about. They talked about these collateralized debt obligations. They made billions of dollars on it. Why aren't they held responsible? Why we're going to reward them and give them more money? What about the rating companies, Standard & Poor's and Moody's, that gave AAA ratings to these bonds? What about the people who wrote the derivatives, guaranteed insurance policies without any reserves? Why, we're going to stimulate their profits. We're going to give them massive amounts of money because they're part of a little club that is dedicated to the transfer of America's wealth to other nations, to the impoverishment of our people, and creating a world government. And if you doubt that, if you doubt that they do not look upon what's going on as an opportunity, why, of course, you need to read the article that Henry Kissinger wrote in the International Herald Tribune on the 12th of January. You can get it on the Internet. Henry Kissinger, you Google in, Henry Kissinger, International Herald Tribune, New Economic Order, and read what he says. What a wonderful opportunity for those people who hate America and want to establish a new international order. Well, with that as a background, Pastor Billy Crone from Niagara Frontier Bible Church, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith. It's a pleasure to be on again.
Well, it's exciting times we live in, especially when you know the Lord and you realize that there is a plan behind what's going on. But I really fear for so many people who are going to be wiped out financially, intentionally by this intentional effort to destroy the financial stability, not only of the United States, but the world. But why don't you go ahead and pick this up and tell us what's really going on from a biblical point of view?
Well, and that's just it, and that's what we were trying to do from our part. And I think the important thing is, you know, it reminds me of the analogy. A kid was walking along a beach one day, and he saw a starfish that had been rushed up on the beach there, and he picked it up and threw it back in the ocean so it wouldn't die. And a guy walking along the beach, he says, "Hey, you know, don't you realize there's millions and millions of those? You know, what difference do you think you're really making? You're wasting your time." And, you know, the little boy's supposed response was basically, "Well, I'm sure it made a difference to that one."
All right. I think that's very apropos. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone as we look at the final countdown towards the fulfillment of God's prophecy and God's judgment. Well, Pastor Crone, you go right ahead.
Well, you know, like you had said, with the whole premise is you're not really going to understand what's going on. You're going to get little bits and pieces of it and things of that nature. But until you understand, you know, what the Scripture has to say about it, then it's really not going to make a whole lot of sense. And you talk about the hope, because the Bible tells us and told us a long time ago, so centuries and centuries ago, what was going to happen in the end times. Why? Because God cares, because God does love people, and He gives them opportunity to turn around before it's too late. And, you know, you talk about the economy, just a little side detour, we're not talking about that tonight, but since you opened the program with that, I am just absolutely amazed. You know, that's one of the signs we'll talk about later, Lord willing, on the final countdown, a one world economy, but I'm amazed with the current events and how they're not even hiding behind curtains, if you will, anymore. Not even with the terminology. They're just flat out the world leaders today. You know, you mentioned Henry Kissinger, but there's many others, I'm sure as you know, around the world that are just flat out saying this is a grand opportunity. We cannot let this go to waste. We have to create this new world order, a global economic system, and they're calling for a global currency. It's just like, it, you know, which is amazing. Now, the premise is, but if you don't know what the Scripture says, that's just going to go, you know, probably in one ear and out the other. But the Bible clearly talks about these events coming when? Before the return of Jesus Christ in the last days. And these are clear signs. And what we're here to talk about tonight is to get into a bit of the one world religion. You know, we talked about the Jewish people, modern technology, worldwide upheaval, the rise of falsehood, wickedness, the rise of wickedness, rise of apostasy, that's dealing with the church, and this is what we're dealing with, the one world religion. That does have to do with the church, because false Christianity is going to go along with this one world religion. And where we get that prophecy from, a couple different ones, of course, Revelation 17 talks about a woman who rides the beast, that's the harlot, Mystery Babylon system, the religious, world religious system. And, of course, Revelation 13 talks about a worldwide worship of none other than the Antichrist. Let me read a little bit of the text for you. Revelation 13 says, the whole world. Now, of course, that sets the stage for us. It's a global event. This is not a local event. This is a global event. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast, or the Antichrist. Men worshipped, okay, that's religious, the dragon, that's Satan, because he had given authority to the beast, okay? This Antichrist is satanically inspired. He'll be literally Satan walking on earth. And they also worship the beast. There it is again, second time, the worship of the Antichrist. Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? All the inhabitants of the earth. How much will worship the beast? Now, again, it's pretty apparent. It's a global event. All whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb, or Jesus Christ, that was slain from the creation of the world.
Hold that thought for just a moment here as we bring all of our other stations back on board, and I want them to hear what you're reading. In fact, I'd appreciate if you just... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Pastor Billy Crone of the Niagara Frontier Bible Church, and we're talking about really how you begin to tie what's going on today into scriptures. And of course, they talk about this coming world order financial system in the scriptures. And he was just reading from Revelation 13, because they tell about the whole world is going to be, you know, amazed at this new leader. Why don't you just start there at the very beginning of that scripture? Because I want our listeners to understand that these things were all foretold 2,000 years ago in the 13th chapter of Revelation. Go right ahead and start there, please.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, and just as a context, you know, Revelation 13, people often mention that chapter, and rightly so, as, you know, the famous Mark of the Beast. And Lord willing, we might actually get there one of these days on that topic that we do cover in the final countdown. But it's loaded. That's not the only thing that's going on in that chapter. You're talking about a one-world economy, Lord willing, we'll get to that, a one-world government, Lord willing, we'll get to that, and what we're talking tonight, a one-world religion. All of that from Revelation 13. Let me read that text. It says, the whole world was astonished and followed the beast. That's the Antichrist. You're talking clearly about a global event. Men worship the dragon, that's Satan, because he had given authority to the beast, the Antichrist. He's literally going to be Satan walking on earth. And they also worship the beast. There it is again. It's worship of the beast, the Antichrist. And they're going to say, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, the Antichrist. All those whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb. That's Jesus Christ that was slain from the creation of the world. Now, there's other passages. That's just one that's obvious. You don't sit there and go, well, that's your interpretation. No, it's pretty obvious. You're talking about a world religion centered around the Antichrist, who is satanically inspired, literally. And so the question is, well, okay, do we see any signs of that? Yeah, slightly, all over the place. But the question is, well, how could this happen? How could literally the whole world, okay, literally be unified into a one-world religion? Could that really happen? Could the world really be deceived in creating a one-world religion that is actually satanically inspired? Absolutely, and that's what we cover in this section, the final countdown. And there's three premises that we cover. We play a little game. If you were the Antichrist, how would you pull this off? Well, one, you'd get rid of any sense of right and wrong. Okay, because if anybody says, hey, aren't all religions basically the same? Well, that's the phrase that people are conditioned to say, but reality says, are you kidding me? If a person makes that statement today, what they basically just told you is they know nothing of world religions, because they are diametrically opposed and different. And two, they don't know anything about Christianity. Christianity is diametrically opposed. All religions on the planet either teach that you are God, that you can become God, or you got to work your way to God. Christianity is the only one on the planet that says, no way, you can't work your way to God, and you certainly aren't God. But here's the good news. Even though you're in a heap of trouble with God because we've sinned, we've all sinned and fall short of His glory, He has came and taken the death penalty in your place. But no religion on the planet does that. But my point is, so if you're going to somehow merge them all together, then you got to get rid of any sense of right and wrong. You got to have some sort of belief system pop on the planet that can somehow intellectually bring all these things together. That's the logical step. Two, then you got to get busy getting rid of those people who are in the way, who aren't going to go along with this one world religion. And three, you got to get busy promoting your one world religion. And hopefully tonight we can at least cover the first two premises. And what's happening, that's already happened, that's get rid of any sense and right and wrong. And what has happened, it's already crept into the church, yes, the American church, and it's what's called the ecumenical movement. Okay, and the ecumenical movement is defined as an organized attempt to bring about the cooperation and unity of all believers in Christ. And on the surface, that sounds really good, okay? But what they don't tell you is that unity, quote-unquote, is sought not on the basis of truth, no, but from a watered-down version of it. For instance, they say that for the sake of the gospel, if you will, you and I as Christians now need to get along and join hands with anyone and everyone who claims to be a Christian or names the name of Christ. But the problem is, and hello, I came out of the cult, many cults claim to be Christians. They mention the name Jesus, but their Jesus is a different Jesus. That doesn't mean that they're Christians. Okay, and the problem is, instead of, quote, broadening the gospel and spurring on unity amongst Christians, what is happening is the ecumenical movement is compromising the truth and actually redefining what it means to be a Christian. Not only redefining what it means to be a Christian, they're redefining who in the world God is. One guy put it this way. It's absolutely one of my favorite quotes. He says this. This is the American church today, folks. He said, he calls it salad bar religion. Okay? He said, salad bar religion denotes the trend where people pick and choose religious beliefs, doctrines, and practices, mixing and matching them as much as they would select food in a cafeteria. He said, this is not just popular among non-Christians. Listen to this. He says, but also among people who consider themselves to be Christians. He says people borrow from different traditions, then they add to them whatever religion they're used to. But they don't want anything to do with, quote, organized religion. He says Americans write their own Bible. They fashion their own God. And more often than not, their God they choose is more like a best friend who has endless time for their needs, no matter how trivial. Scholars call this domesticating God. He says turning him into a social planner, a therapist, or a guardian angel. He says we have trivialized God. Listen to this. He says we assume that God is the butler who serves you for one reason, to give you a happy life. We have turned God into the divine Prozac. One of my favorite quotes, and I see that all the time that's happening. And this ecumenical truth, what's happening is they keep compromising the truth. Supposedly we've got to get along, we've got to get along, we've got to get along. And things get more and more watered down. And under the guise of supposed unity and supposed love and embrace, everyone, you're embracing stuff, all right? You're embracing heresy, a false gospel, and a false God. Okay? And besides, I mean, stop and think about it logically as a Christian. I mean, can I really get along with those who are claiming to be Christians, yet they state that you got to keep the sacraments to be saved, or those that would say that they're Christians but says that Satan doesn't exist? Here's a freaky stat. Did you know that 49% of the quote-unquote American church does not believe that Satan exists? Excuse me? We're in a heap of trouble, folks. Or am I supposed to get along with those that say, hell's just make-believe? Well, if it's make-believe, what did Jesus die on the cross for? We say the phrase saved. Get saved from what? Saved from a mediocre existence? No, Jesus came to save us from the wrath of God, from eternal destruction in hell. But if there is no hell, why did he go to the cross? Why didn't he just get beat up a couple times and, you know, take a couple hits for us or something? It's ludicrous. Can I get and join hands with somebody who believes that Jesus really isn't God, but he's the Archangel Michael? Or worse yet, some people who say or give the impression that Christians say that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? I'm supposed to get along with those? I don't think so. The Bible says stay away from them. In fact, the Bible says this in the book of Romans. Paul says to the church, he warns us. He says, I urge you, brothers, watch out. Watch out for those who cause divisions and put up obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. He says, keep away from them. He says, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By, listen to this, smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Now, wait a second. You mean to tell me there would come a time when people would team up with false teachers in the church who would use smooth talk to deceive people into receiving a watered-down version of the truth, where everybody's right, nobody's wrong, we all just got to get along, that's preparing us for a one-world religion? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's happening in the American church today. Okay, and the irony is truth by its very nature is divisive. And somehow that's become a negative word, being divisive. In fact, stop and think about it logically. Truth by its very nature is what divides between what? Between what is right and what is wrong. Okay, watering down the truth for supposed unity is not true unity. Now the question is, well, wait a second. How in the world could this happen to the American church? How could they buy for this goofball ecumenical movement that's watering down the truth, that's changing the whole fabric of Christianity into something that it's not? Well, it's because, and this is where people need to make a heads up, what has come onto the planet is a worldview called relativism. Relativism, you know, most people are influenced by it, and frankly, a lot of people live by it. Let me just coin it in a popular phrase. Relativism is basically this: whatever you believe is true to you, and whatever I believe is true to me. In other words, there are no absolutes, there is no right and wrong. Which, by the way, is absolutely unbiblical, because that's how the Israelites got in trouble back in the book of Exodus. When they're down there, Moses up there getting the commandments from God, and the people down below are down there partying, if you will, and sinning against God. And then Moses says, listen, you shall not do as you're doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. That was the problem. They didn't want to follow God. They wanted to be their own God. They wanted to make their own God. They wanted to live their own life. Who cares what Moses had to say or God had to say? They were doing their own thing. That's the marching orders of our society today. It's relativism. That's what got the Israelites into trouble way back when, and it's what's getting our country and the whole world system into trouble today. But stop and think about it. The moment somebody says there are no absolutes, this is what's just ridiculous. The moment somebody says there are no absolutes, you just made an absolute statement. You cannot escape absolutes. And you cannot build a society. You can't build a life. You can't build reality without absolutes. And let me give you a couple examples. Try absolute or relativism anywhere in life, and you run into some serious problems. Would you apply relativism in the classroom? Would you apply relativism to mathematics? In class, you were taught 2 plus 2 equals 4. Okay? But what if it was your sincerely held belief that 2 plus 2 equals 5? Now, in your world, you did decide this to be true. But does the sincerity of your opinion make that true? I don't think so. Try that on a math test and see how far you get. And if math was relative, would you trust anything that an engineer would come up with? It's impossible. How about science class? In science, we were taught the dogmatic truth principle of gravity. Okay, but what if it was your personal opinion you could jump out of a plane without a parachute and fly upwards? Well, you believe that all you want. I just seriously don't recommend it. Okay, it's ridiculous. You will always fall down to the ground. And what's happening with this is that people don't realize is that this truth, just somehow it's because that's what I really believe, somehow that becomes a measuring rod for something to be right. But, hey, listen, I'm not saying that you're not sincere, but the sincerity of your opinion proves nothing. It just means you can be sincerely wrong. It is truth is what distinguishes between what is right and wrong. And that's what our society's gotten away with. And people don't realize it's that belief system that is preparing people to receive the Antichrist one world system.
In fact, many of our leaders will tell you we all worship the same God. President Bush said that recently. You know, we all worship the same God. The Jews, the Muslims, the Christians all worship the same God. And maybe that's why we're in the mess we are today. Well, Pastor, you go ahead, pick up the story.
Well, you know, speaking of just kind of fast forward a little bit, I don't know if we'll get to that part of the study on Final Countdown, One World Religion, tonight.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
What those standards are, but you pick up the story there, but Pastor Billy, because of course what we're seeing today is a conscious, organized, orchestrated effort to undermine Christianity, to frighten and intimidate Christians from not taking a stand and saying, what you're doing is wrong because God says that it's wrong. I will tell you, you get up in a public meeting and talk about some of the things that are going on today and raise the name of God or mention the name of God, and most of the people will be horrified that you're using God and God's instructions as a foundation for your belief system.
Well, and that's just it. And then, you know, flip it around. Anything goes, though, but Orthodox Christianity. And you look at the, you know, whole site issue, public schools, you know, they're taught how to be a good Muslim. They're taught how to do witchcraft rituals and things of that nature. But oh, don't mention Jesus, or it's just ridiculous. And again, if I was a non-Christian and if I was intellectually honest, and I see when you got this isolated treatment against Christianity and only Christianity, I mean, that would throw a red flag up to me. Like, what do you got against Christianity? I mean, here's the ultimate hypocrisy. You say you gotta accept everybody, and nobody's right, everybody's right, nobody's wrong, except Christianity. I mean, that in itself is hypocritical. You should have to accept Christianity, but you don't. Why do you pick on the one? And that, to me, that would be a red flag. But what many Christians don't think of, because they don't stand on the truth, and I tell people this all the time, when you tell people this, listen, I'm not the one who's judging you. The Bible is. The Word of God is. God is. I mean, the Ten Commandments are not 10 great suggestions. They're from God. And like it, lump it, or leave it. He makes the rules. Okay? And that's just what cannot fit in this new paradigm of relativism. And again, just a couple more examples to show you how ludicrous this relativism is. How can all values be equal? Let's put that one to the test. What if it was some, and some people have this, and I'm not recommending this, but this is where some people are today. What if it was somebody's value to molest his or her children? Is that right? We're supposed to praise that? Okay, if you bought into the new definition of tolerance, you'd have to say yes. Or what if it was another person's value to teach their children to steal for a living? What if it was a mother's value to introduce her daughter to prostitution as a fulfilling lifestyle? What if it was a father's personal value that he felt proper to raise his son, being a woman abuser or something like that? If everybody's values, beliefs, lifestyles, claims to truth are equal, then does that mean that Hitler's slaughter of millions of Jews was perfectly fine? I mean, if we object, are we being a bigot? I'm sure he was just following his claim to truth. Okay? It's absolutely crazy. Now, what people don't realize, this new definition of tolerance is exactly what is going to be used, pay attention, to justify all the evils of the coming Antichrist system that will make what Hitler did look like chump change. And little do people know that God warned long ago that when you see this type of thinking entering into a society, any society, let alone America, that society will be under the judgment of God. Isaiah said this in Isaiah 5. He says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. And that's exactly the marching orders for our country currently and around the world today. And it's not only building the Antichrist global religion system, okay, but it is a sign that we are fast approaching the judgment of God, which is what the seven-year tribulation is all about. So that answers the first question. Well, how in the world is the Antichrist going to get everybody, the whole world, to worship when religions, if we're honest and we look at the facts, are totally diametrically opposed? Ah, well, we just answered it. You enter into a belief system that somehow you get to mush them all together. You know, whatever you believe is true to you, whatever, you know. So that's the foundation. Well, that's been in place for about the last 40, 50 years, okay? So he's got the first one down. But the second one is, well, wait a second. There's always going to be those dissenters. There's always going to be those people that says, man, I can't compromise on the truth. Are you kidding me? Jesus said he's the only way. I can't do what the former President Bush said and says we all worship the same gods. Are you kidding me? I'm risking my eternal destiny. There's no way. So what do you do with those people? Well, you got to get rid of them. And that's exactly what we see. This is what's different. Not only the rise of this belief system, okay, which is what people need to realize, but what we see right now, unprecedented, more than any other time in the history of the church, is the massive, massive Christian persecution. That's the second thing. Right now, our fellow brothers and sisters are being slaughtered around the world, and this sign is coming to pass. Hitler killed 6 million Jews, but he murdered 7 million Christians, and right now there's over 200, right now, 200 million Christians worldwide under the threat of persecution. Our fellows and brothers and sisters in Christ are being beaten, they're being tortured, they're being imprisoned, and they're being murdered. In 1988 alone, some 310,000 Christians were slaughtered, and more Christians have died for their faith in the last century alone than the previous 19 centuries combined. I don't know about you, but I would say it looks like somebody's desperately trying to get rid of those who are standing in the way.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Well, Pastor Billy, you go right ahead, pick the story up there.
Well, you know, and again, you know, oftentimes when we bring up these signs of what's going on, you know, and you start talking about Bible prophecy and, you know, we're in the last days, you better wake up. You know, a lot of people, you know, are conditioned. I used to be one of them, like, hey, come on, you wacko Christians. You've been saying this for how many decades? Nothing ever changes, blah, 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 blah. Well, again, you know, as we bring up these signs, you need to pay attention that, like, relativism, that hasn't been around that long. That's new. That's the pavement, if you will, for this one world religion to rise. And yeah, there's been persecution around of the church from the get-go. Okay, but nothing on the scale that we see today. And it's getting worse, and people don't realize it. Right now, I just had an article recently that the going rate to kill a pastor is $250. So,
Now, where is that? It's in what, China? In India?
Yeah, that's in India.
India, right.
And, you know, they're sending rewards out right now to murder Christians, destroy their homes and churches and things of that nature. And they're offering money and food and alcohol to anyone who will murder a Christian. Other thousands of homes and churches are being destroyed. Neighbors gang-raped recently a Hindu woman after her Christian uncle refused to renounce his faith. Another Christian woman was told by her neighbors, if you go on being a Christian, we're going to burn your house and your children in front of you. And then she and her family were forced to eat cow manure to, quote, purify themselves from Christianity. Other Christians in the area were doused with gasoline and told to participate in conversion ceremonies or be lit on fire. Now, here's the thing. Why isn't this on the news? I mean, you get news about, you know, stuff that's going on with the economy, and then you get a personal story about Fluffy the Wonder Dog saved a cat today, and then these people are actually going through this, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Why is this not on the news? Sudan, this has been out for, information, this has been going on for, I don't know, how many years? Sudan, there's a Christian Holocaust going on. It's been going on, and it's still going on. It's ludicrous. I can't believe it. It will not make the media. Over 2 million Christians have been slaughtered and continue to be slaughtered just in the region of Sudan. It's all over the world, but that's just in that one region. 6 million Jewish people were killed by Hitler, and we are repeatedly reminded of that on various programs on television and in school, and rightly so. You shouldn't forget about that, okay? But why don't you... This is current. This is happening right now. 2 million in just one area has been decimated. Why do we ever hear about that? I mean, again, as a non-Christian, that would be kind of fishy. Why won't you report millions of Christians being killed? It almost sounds like there's an agenda. And I like what I just
heard. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Pastor Billy is talking about the genocide of Christians that's going on in the Sudan. They've killed over 2 million Christians in the southern part of Sudan over the last few years. But, of course, we never hear about that. We're constantly reminded about the 6 million Jews who died in the concentration camps in Germany. And certainly this was a terrible thing. But why don't we ever talk about the Christians who died in the concentration camps in Germany? And because many of them were targeted as well. And why don't we talk about the Christians who had been slaughtered and being slaughtered today in the southern part of Sudan? Why is this never mentioned? And of course, Pastor Billy mentioned when the fluffy kitten is rescued by the Wonder Dog. Why, of course, this is played up on television programs across America. But Christian persecution is totally ignored. Nobody ever mentions that the 800,000 people who were slaughtered in Rwanda were Christians. But we never mentioned that for some reason. Go right ahead, Pastor Billy.
Well, you know, people need to realize that it's happening every day, nonstop, and it's been happening for quite some time. But on such a global scale, this has never happened before. And that's exactly what the Bible talked about when we come in the last days. Let me give you a couple more examples. Right now, Turkish believers are being satanically tortured before being killed. Listen to this. I mean, this is, men recently were disemboweled. Their intestines were sliced up in front of their very eyes. They were emasculated and watched as those body parts were destroyed. The group added that the fingers were chopped off, their noses and mouths were sliced open, and possibly the article says the worst part was watching as their brothers were likewise tortured. One gentleman was stabbed 156 times, another one 99 times, and the other one had too many stab wounds, it was too many to count. Finally, apparently that still wasn't good enough. Their throats were sliced from ear to ear, and their heads were practically decapitated. Right now, 1 million North Koreans, Christians, by the way, folks, another 1 million, are in concentration camps in North Korea. Many camps are so huge that they can actually spot them from satellite images. One camp, it's Camp 22, is North Korea's largest concentration camp for Christians. Thousands die every single year. Prison guards stamp on the necks of the babies born to the Christian prisoners and kill them. Witnesses have been quoted in the BBC, hello, this is legit news service, watching entire families being put into glass chambers and gassed. And then they're left to an agonizing death while scientists take notes, the defector said. Gee, that sounds like Hitler Part 2. Other experiments in these camps are chemical experiments. Here's one. This lady testimony came out. Her name is Soon Okli. She said, here's what she had to do. Imagine waking up one day and this is what you had to do that day. An officer ordered me to select 50 healthy female prisoners, and then one of the guards handed me a basket full of soaked cabbage. He told me not to eat it, but to give it to those 50 women. So I gave it out to them, and then I all of a sudden started hearing screams from those who had eaten the cabbage. They were all screaming and vomiting blood. All who ate the cabbage leaves started violently vomiting blood and screaming with pain. It was, she uses the word, hell. In less than 20 minutes, they were quite dead. In fact, it's gotten so bad, folks, that one in four Christians, imagine if this was America, one in four Christians in North Korea are believed to be in one of these kind of camps. Folks, this is going on. And can you believe it never makes the news? Absolute atrocity. Okay, now here's the premise. Now, many Christians, I think that, well, hey, it's never going to come to America. Are you kidding me, folks? You better wake up. It's already happening. In recent decades, of course, we know that Bible and prayer and the Ten Commandments were taken out of schools. But it gets worse than that. Lawyers are asking that the Bible be placed on a list of books that are considered dangerous for children. Sharing the gospel, the good news that, hey, listen, you don't have to go to hell. Jesus paid the price for you. He's willing to forgive you of anything and everything you've ever done. He's done it all. That's now being called mental manipulation as well. The media consistently, it's called propaganda, folks, consistently portrays those who believe in the Bible as cultists. They stereotype us as ignorant, homophobic, greedy, hypocritical, sexually deviant. The U.S. Supreme Court ordered, of course we know, the end of school-sponsored religious activities and prayers during morning announcements, graduation, that whole nine yards. Tourists visiting Washington, D.C. recently were ordered by police to stop praying in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol. The ACLU put pressure on a town to remove the fish symbol from its official logo, called a secret sign of Christianity. Recently, a minister was arrested for praying on the steps of the Supreme Court. Requests have been made, of course we know, about with it, the hate crime bills. And this is the big one. This is what people don't realize. This is what's going to open up Pandora's box and silence pulpits and Christians all across America with the hate crime bills. And what they're using as the tool, of course, is the homosexual issue. Right now, and this is where it's escalated, a gay man is suing Bible publishers. He's not suing Christians. He's not suing a church. He is suing people who publish the Bible. He's suing them $70 million for emotional distress because the Bible casts homosexuality as a sin. And he's saying that, and the big guns, this is Zondervan, folks, if you're familiar with the Bible publishers, that's one of the big guns. And he's alleging that they are on purpose making homosexuality out to be him to be an outcast. He says it's caused him physical discomfort, periods of demoralization, chaos, and bewilderment. And he says that that Zondervan has this agenda that's causing him to face verbal abuse, hatred, physical violence, including murder. And then he wants to be compensated for the past 20 years of emotional duress and mental instability. And you might laugh at that, folks, but I'm telling you, this is going to be the instrument that's used to basically finally get basically a clamp on the scripture and on the Christian, because we have stayed so silent for so long and frankly so distracted. These hate crimes are going to come in and they're going to dictate what we can and cannot say. And in fact, it's already happening over in Europe. And the historical lesson, as goes Europe, so goes America. And right now, of course, if you guys were paying attention to the news, in the Swedish hate crime laws, a pastor was jailed because he preached against homosexuality as a sin, but in jail. Folks, this is already happening. There was two pastors who in Australia who were charged under hate crimes for criticizing Islam, okay? In Germany, there's a law on the books that went into effect in 2007 under the Federal Crimes Code of the Federal Republic of Germany. And basically that if you, if somebody feels, you know, if you basically say, you know, hey, you know, give a gospel tract out or talk about, you know, basically quoting what Jesus himself said of himself, that he is the way, he's the only way to heaven. If somebody is insulted by that, then they could report you to the police. It's happening right now, folks. And you are subject to a 3-year prison term. They'll come and get you for a hate crime and then, a fine. And the gentleman who emailed this from us in Germany, this is a first-hand report, says that there really is no fine. They just send you off to jail. He says right now there's laws, and he's translating articles for us, that they're trying to pass in France that's trying to outlaw Christianity altogether. And I'll read what he says in his email that I had from him. He says, yes, these things are really happening here in Europe, and like you said, people must be made aware of it. But it gets even worse. What people don't realize is right now on the books of the UN, something unprecedented is taking place. Christianity is pretty soon going to become a criminal behavior under international law. Around the world, Christians, it says the article, are being increasingly targeted, even persecuted, for their religious beliefs. And the United Nations is pushing to make a bad situation even worse by promoting anti-Christian bigotry. It's called the Anti-Defamation Plan. Check it out. It's been submitted to the UN repeatedly since 1999. And it started out just as a ban against defamation of Islam. But recently it's been changed to refer to religions, period. Remember the Antichrist goal. All religions under one. Okay, and so here's what's happening with this. Is people don't realize that it says the defamation of religion replaces the existing objective criterion or limitations on speech where there is an intent to incite hatred or violence against religious believers, okay, that considers whether the religion or its believers feel offended by the speech. So basically, if you say something that somebody of another religion doesn't like, then you're considered a hate crime. Now, this is at the UN. Now, listen to this. Here's the important thing. The person says this is very important to understand. This radical proposal would outlaw Christianity, and it would make the proclamation of your faith an international crime. Now, why do you need to wake up? Because that's never happened before. In certain areas, and we're seeing the rise of that all over the world, but now for the first time, it's on the books, folks, in the UN. Christianity is soon to become an international crime. And that's exactly what Jesus said is going to be the hatred towards his people when in the last days. Matthew 24, Jesus says, then you will be arrested, you will be persecuted and killed. Listen, you will be hated where? Not just here, not just there. He says, you will be hated all over the world because of your allegiance to me. Now, wait a second, you mean to tell me the Bible says there's going to come a time when Christians will not just be slandered and slaughtered over here and over there, but literally worldwide just because they follow Jesus and they refuse to go along with the one world religion? Yeah, slightly. Okay, and that's exactly what is happening before our very eyes today, and people need to wake up. Okay, now, what people need to realize is the way that they are pulling this off is because you think if all religions are going to get together, then what are you going to do about the three monotheistic religions on the planet? Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They all believe that there's one God, so how are you going to get them to get into a pantheistic? Now, what they're doing is they're very slick. They're taking each one of those religions, and they're splitting them right down the middle. And they're taking the ones who believe in the, if you will, the fundamentals of the faith. For instance, let me give an example. This is happening. It's been happening since 9/11. The Muslims, okay, they're taking the Muslims who do follow the Quran, who are doing with the jihad, and who are, you know, killing the infidels, and you know, which is what it teaches, okay. And they're saying those are the bad guys. Those are the right wing fundamentalists, terrorists. And then they're taking the ones who say, oh no, the Quran teaches all peace-loving, which is not true. And they're taking those, basically the phony Muslims, and they're saying those are the true ones. Okay, so you can see their mode, what they're doing. See, because they can't get rid of these religions, because all religions have to come to one. So what they're doing is they're coming in subverting them. They're taking the true ones, okay, which I don't recommend that behavior, by the way, with the Muslims, okay, with the jihad. But they're taking the true ones, and they're making them out to be the bad guys. They're taking the false ones, okay, and they're saying they're the true ones. You see what I'm doing? It's the old switcheroo. The same thing's happening to Christianity. I've warned people for many years that the same thing that's happening to Christians, they're taking the true Christians, you and I, who believe that Jesus said what he said, that he's the only way to heaven, they're making us out to be the bad guys. they're using the same terminology on us. They're calling us right-wing fundamentalist terrorists. Okay? And then, so they're saying we're the bad guys. Then they're taking the liberal Christianity we talked about before, which says, no, Jesus, just like President Bush had said, that no, all these ways lead to heaven. They're saying those are the true Christians, okay? That leaves one left on the planet, and that's Judaism. Okay, and it just so happens, okay, that they are one of the major players during the time of the seven-year tribulation. And their eyes are going to be open halfway into it when the Antichrist goes into the temple and declares himself to be God. Okay? And so you could see the pattern being set up. In fact, if you don't believe me, I challenge you, go to, and you want to see that that's exactly the mode that they're doing, go up to Google, go to YouTube or whatever, and type in God's Warriors. Okay, God's Warriors. And you're going to see that CNN has recently put out a deal where they're calling them the Jewish Warriors, the Muslim Warriors, and the Christian Warriors. And they did exactly what I just told you in the media. They're making the ones who are following the Orthodox belief as the bad warriors, the rotten people that we got to get rid of. And they're taking the phony ones and saying they're real. It's the old switcheroo. You can check it out yourself. They've already started the propaganda. And then to make sure that we sound really bad in the public eye, listen to what Janet Reno said is her definition of a cultist, of somebody who's danger. She said this, a cultist is one who has a strong belief in the Bible and the second coming of Christ, who frequently attends Bible studies, who has a high level of financial giving to a Christian cause, who homeschools their children, who has accumulated survival foods, and has a strong belief in the Second Amendment, and who distrusts big government. Any of these may qualify a person as a cultist, but certainly more than one of these would cause us to look at this person as a threat and his family as being in a risk situation that qualified for government interference. It's absolutely wild that people don't wake up and realize, folks, that the coffins are being built, that the fence is being put around us, and we are going to be headed off for the slaughter. You better wake up. And then just to make sure that we sound really, really bad in the public eye, they're using the propaganda on us as Christians today as psycho groups, harmful and dangerous, obstructionists, right-wing fanatics who embrace a message of hate and fear. That's from Bill Clinton, by the way. Mongers of hate who preach their anger. That's from Texas Governor Ann Richards. Intolerant, using subterranean tactics. That's from Congressman Vic Fazio. Unchristian religious right who are selling our children out in the name of religion. That's from Jocelyn Elders, by the way. Listen to this. A New York Times writer said that Christianity is a greater threat than the old threat of communism. We've been called fire-breathing radicals, merchants of hate, fanatics, militants, and bigots, right-wing fundamental extremists. Now, folks, that's the exact same terminology that they're using on the Muslim terrorists that everybody says, hey, you better get rid of those people. And I'm telling you, I've been warning people since 9/11 because this propaganda has been going on that long. You better wake up, Christian, because you're digging your own grave. And because we've been silent, they're going to come and get us next because we will not go along with their one world religion. It's time to get motivated. But that is still not all. Okay? Another thing that's appeared that's made this time so different is we are headed into a time where something very interesting has popped back onto the planet. And that is with the rise of beheadings, okay, as a form of annihilation. Recently in Thailand, there was at least 15 cases where people were being beheaded. And that was just in 2005. And then in Chechnya, beheadings were done to Russian soldiers. Videos were circulated on the Internet. There was four Western workers. There was three Britons and a New Zealander. They were beheaded, and their heads were found on the side of the road. In Saudi Arabia, authorities beheaded four men. That was in 2007. And then the court also ruled that the bodies of those four people were to be crucified for public view as an example for others. And, of course, in Iraq, there's been there quite for a while now, but not just, you know, foreign civilians, okay? You're not just dealing with soldiers, but foreign civilians have borne the brunt of the beheadings. And of course, those have been videotaped. And speaking of which, in 2007, you know, the Associated Press obtained a video. It shows a young boy, about 12 years of age, beheading a man who was accused of betraying the Taliban. It's happening right now in Africa, in Somalia. In March of 2008, three government soldiers were beheaded there as well. And then what you need to understand is beheadings are not only coming back, but they're coming back for guess who? That's right, for Christians. Let me read to you real quick this article. Recently, there was a sole survivor of a radical Muslim attack on four Christian high school girls. She and her three friends were walking home from school, and they were assaulted by a group of jihadists wielding machetes. Three of the girls were decapitated by the assailants, and yet this one girl survived with a severe slash to her head and neck in an unsuccessful beheading attempt. The three Christian high school girls were beheaded as a Ramadan trophy. The girls' severed heads were dumped in plastic bags in the village, along with a handwritten note that threatening more attacks. And the note read, "Wanted, 100 more Christian heads, teenage or adult, male or female. Blood shall be answered with blood, soul with soul, and a head for a head."
And you wonder why this is never covered on ABC, CBS, and NBC. And it's why, I'll tell you why. Because they're the other side. They're part of the problem. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy to wrap up this evening's program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Pastor Billy, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap it up. Would you like to get out your webpage where people can get in touch with you?
Sure. You could check us out at our main website at Niagara Frontier.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
Programs on creation, part one, part two. We carry his programs on RFID chips because I think it's important. They want, of course, to chip everything. By federal law, every farm animal in the United States, every little chicken, every little goose, every little duckling, they're all to have an RFID chip, or you are a federal criminal. And you say, oh, I haven't even heard about that. Well, we have a 4-tape set on spy chips. We got a great book on spy chips by Catherine Albrecht. These things are coming to pass, but they're not being a call to your attention because the media is controlled, and they're going to do everything they can to silence people like me. to keep the American people from knowing what's really going on. So if you'd like to get certainly the Final Countdown series, either part one, part two, or get the two of them together at a reduced cost, or certainly the Creation Session series, or certainly the RFID, the four DVD sets, we think they're good. We wouldn't carry them. Now, we will be carrying more later on, but these are what we have right now. And, of course, our telephone number, if you'd like to reach us, is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. And then, of course, we have in the Eye of the Phoenix. We've gone through probably 70 or more since we got them just a week or so ago. The Eye of the Phoenix is the story of the emblem on the back of the dollar bill and the president who put it there, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And, of course, although the DVD doesn't mention it, he's the man who began packing the Supreme Court with Masons who would then take God and prayer out of our schools in 1962. But nobody will tell you that. Harry Truman, FDR, Masons, and of course they put Masons on the Supreme Court because they worship a different God, and they controlled the United States Supreme Court majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 between 1941 and 1971 when they worked their mischief and their effort to destroy the Christian and Judeo-Christian foundation of this country, indeed, to destroy the God that Jews and Christians worship, because they worship a different God. They worship the great architect of the universe, who's the God of this world, but certainly not the God of heaven. It's really a resurgence of Gnosticism. We also carry the other DVDs in that series, the Secret Mystery DVD, Riddles in Stone DVD. We think they're important. We do hope you want to get them as well. And then, of course, we have our interview with Chris Pinto, who put those out, the talk he gave here. The Atlantis Connection, the DVD we have with Constance Cumby, called The Emergence, the story, as she was told by the Luciferians about the coming of the Antichrist. And they know exactly what's going on, but this is never going to be covered by the media in America today, because the last thing they want you to know is that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And as long as they control the media, the only way we're going to get the information out is programs like this, or, of course, you telling others about our programs and get them listening. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on our satellite feed 9 hours a day. And you can also listen to Joyce Riley and Pastor Butch and Chuck Chrismeyer on our satellite feed. It runs 24 hours a day. And then, of course, you can listen to our live programs. You can call in if you want to. You can listen to our shortwave. You can listen to our satellite if you have a satellite receiver. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get the other items that we have available, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. There's a syllabus with that, our talk on the planned police state, our material on the concentration camps. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are concentration camps out there, and you can see the pictures of them, and you can read the government material on them and hear the congressman talking about them. A material you'll never hear elsewhere. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty. this is Dr. Stan, back your liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Roger Young. And we're going to be talking about what's happening from a spiritual point of view. Roger, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
You bet, Dr. Stan. It's my pleasure.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself and about, of course, what your studies have been covering?
Well, my studies have ranged for a long time. There were lots of, let me put it this way. A long time ago, over 20 years ago, there were lots of rumors and things floating around about the last days, the second coming, and things along this line. And we did some groups of friends of I got together, and we did some study, and we noticed that some of the things that were happening in the newspaper were some of the events that we were reading in the scriptures, reading in the in New Testament and in John and Daniel, and so we started, tracking some of these things and saying, if we're right, then according to some of these predictions that we see, then we would see these kind of events happening. Well, we kind of made a list and did some study and a list of things that we were looking for, and sure enough, those things started to happen. It pretty much as we predicted. So, last year we put together a little research group, did a little lecturing, and in fact I'll be leaving tomorrow, I'll do some more lecturing, but did a little lecturing saying if our analysis of the events of the scriptures are right, then these are the events we should be seeing in the world. And we put together a list of things that are going to happen, and we've been about 90%, 95% right.
All right, fine. What sort of things are you talking about?
Well, for example, there's a sequence outlined in the scriptures. You go to Matthew and Mark and Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, Matthew chapter 24, and the Savior himself outlines a sequence of events. In order to understand what's happening in the world, you need to understand the sequence, then you understand the players. There's lots of people who do one or the other, but very few who put them together. Now, of course, you're one of those who understands the combination of what God is doing and its effect on the world. And so what we did was saying, all right, if we're right, then we should, I'll give you one because we don't have a whole lot of time, but there's a sequence of what they call a time of the Gentiles. And Luke, where the Savior himself says, we have a period of time where the Jerusalem is going to be overthrown and overrun by the Gentiles. And that will be at the time of the Gentiles. And when the time of the Gentiles is finished, then the Jews will come back and occupy Jerusalem. Well, we know by past historical evidence that the Jews did come back and occupy Jerusalem, contrary to all expectations for a couple thousand years. And that happened, and, well, they came back to Israel in 1948, but they came back and controlled Jerusalem, as you well know, in 1967.
I think it is really one of the most amazing of all the prophecies that, people, of course, have a lot of reasons why the Jews went back there, and, of course, a lot of them get into anti-Semitism. But the incredible thing is that this was prophesied 2,000 years ago. And yet,
yes,
at just this time in history, the Jews have returned to the Holy Land, and of course they have reinstituted their ancient monetary system, the shekel. They've brought back the Hebrew language, which was more or less really gone for 2,000 years. And now, suddenly, Israel as a nation, whatever you think of it, Israel
Absolutely.
Is there. And I think we're going to be back in just a moment with Roger Young as we evaluate the prophecies that seem to be coming true today. Is it chance or is it something far more exciting? Well, Roger, you picked the story up.
Okay, well, so there's a sequence If you put in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, it all fits together. But one of the most striking things is that John gives us more detail than anyone else of what's going to happen in the very last days. And excuse me, I've had a little cold the last couple of days, so I might cough here and there. But what interestingly enough, the most surprising thing that he talks about are the seven last plagues of the wrath of God. And they're in, primarily they start in the seventh seal, or when the seventh seal is open. And they give us a time frame and a list of sequence of events in there. And that gives us an idea of a little bit of the degree of where we're at in the frame of things. And we've been successful in our predictions and our forecasts in our research group, our global research initiative group, by basically cheating. We cheat by because we use the prophecies to kind of guide us. And with that basis, we've been very successful in predicting these are the kind of events that are going to happen. For example, in Revelations chapter 8 and chapter 9, you have the seven last plagues of the wrath of God. Well, you've split those into two groups. You have the first four and the last three, as you are well aware of. Now, the first four describe events that are general. And kind of, here's John trying to tell us, if when you see these kind of events, you know that things are going to get start up faster. You know you're getting close to the time that Jesus described in Matthew chapter 24 and in Luke chapter 21. And so when you start seeing these things, well, the first four are difficult. The general, you see one-third of all of the waters become polluted. You see different things along this, but I want to concentrate on the last three. The last three, John gets very specific about what's going to happen. He calls
Whereabouts in the Bible is this?
This is Revelation chapter 9.
Revelation chapter 9. Okay, go right ahead.
Okay. This is where he talks about the three last woes, the fifth, sixth, and seventh plagues. He now gives us enough detail here that we can actually really identify. Now, the last one, number seven, plague number seven, is actually the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, coming in power and great glory. All right, so we're more concerned about the fifth and sixth plagues.
All right, fine. Hold that thought for just a minute as we bring all of our stations right back on board, and they'll be here in just a moment.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Roger Young. He's talking about, of course, John, the ninth chapter. We're talking about Revelation, the ninth chapter. And of course here John is telling us about the seventh of the plague. So pick the story up there.
Okay. Well, in our interpretation of this, we think, John tells us early, he says, all I'm going to do is describe to you the events that I see. And sometimes he tells us this is in the form of a person or this is in the form of an animal. But he says, I'm going to describe the things that I see. So here he is describing events that give us a time frame, a sequence of events that we should be looking for. Now, starting in chapter 9, you start off with the fifth plague. Now, and then you have followed, and that's the first half of chapter 9. Then you have the sixth plague, which starts off in the second half of chapter 9. And so he tells us when you see these things, I kind of use it as an analogy, is that when John is trying to say when you see this strange events, then you know that we're going to get very close to the time the Savior talked about in Matthew chapter 24 when he was on the Mount of Olives.
No, but what are these events that are described?
Okay, for example, it's a war. There are three wars that are described in the fifth and sixth plagues. Three wars. The first one is a strange 5-month war. The second is a 13-month war. And the third one is the Armageddon war that we hear a lot about. And so John gives us, in the first 5-month war, seven identifying things. Now, interestingly enough, John doesn't give us much details about anything else prior to that. Not as much detail. But here he gives us seven identifying things about a very, very strange war. And he says, now, even though we're in a time of war, of wars and rumors of wars, and the world is in chaos, this one is so different and so strange, it's kind of like he's waving a little red flag and saying, hey, when you see this, you know things are getting close. And so he gives us, you know, seven things on it. And first thing is that, first of all, he tells us it's 5 months long. Well, if you go back 100 years, you know, and talk about all the major world wars. First of all, it's a world war. How many wars have ever been approximately 5 months? He's very specific. He mentions it twice. Okay? If you go back, World War One? No. World War Two? No. How about the Korean War? How about the Vietnam War? In all the big histories of wars, there was only one war that was approximately 5 months long, where the army of the adversary, or the Apollyon, as it's described here, the evil army, has power for approximately 5 months. And that is the first Gulf War. And so we say, okay, if that's a possibility, we set that to the side and say, all right, that was approximately 5 months long. With the time that Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, until the time that he started losing power is when we started bombing him, was approximately 5 months long. And there was world powers involved in that. In fact, there was quite a big army, over 1 million combatants in it. Alright, so if that's a possibility, that gives us the first clue. Then we look at the second clue in there, and John tells us that this is a strange war in this war, there's smoke that comes out of the ground that, in fact, let me read it here. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So he's seeing literally smoke come out of the ground as if it was a great furnace, and it obscures the sun and the sky. Well, did we have something like that happen in the Gulf War? And the answer is, yeah, we did. What was it? It was the smoke and the fires from the oil wells that had been set on fire, obscured the sun and the sky. I had lots of friends who had fought over there, came back, and in fact, one brought over a video and said that you can't believe how bad it was. He was a helicopter pilot. So he said, okay, there may be one and maybe two out of the seven that might be there. Then he says something else. He says, of course, there's modern weapons and tanks and helicopters. In fact, John does a pretty good description of being seen 2,000 years ago of what goes on here. He says modern tanks, modern... In fact, his best one on the helicopters is that they had, and the sound of their wings, they look like grasshoppers flying, and the sound of their wings is like the sound of horses and chariots running to battle. Well, if you've ever heard a bunch of Apache helicopters, or a flock of them, so to speak, fly over, the ground literally shakes as if a bunch of horses and chariots were running by. And so here we have three out of three. Now, one other thing is that he says something very strange. He says no trees, no grass, nor any green thing is hurt in this war. That's a very strange thing to say about a war. And yet, did we have that happen in this 5 month war in the Gulf War? And the answer is, yes, we did. Why? Because there's no trees, no grass, or any green thing there really to hurt, so to speak. Then we get to, you know, number five out of this list of seven. And number five is something very strange. He said there are two armies. One army is sealed in their foreheads, and the other army is not. Well, if you go back to Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 10, you find out another reference to Israel is being sealed in their forehead. Here we have four angels, a group of angels who have been there, and the first one has an inkhorn, and the master tells him, "You go and seal all those who still bow the knee and weep for the sins of Israel, and you go seal them in their forehead." And then he tells everyone else, all the other angels there, "You take the and go kill everyone. Don't be men, women, children, doesn't matter. Slay everybody else except for those who've been sealed in their forehead." So sealing in the forehead is a form of protection. So if we say that, then we look at it and say, okay, if there was a good army and a bad army, then the good army would be sealed in its forehead, And if that was the case, it would be protected by God, and so there would be a little bit, there would be less death. In fact, if they were sealed, there would be very little death as compared to the evil army or the opposing army, and where there would be lots of death. So a strange thing to say. Did we find that happening in the Gulf War?
What was the seal in the forehead of
It's a spiritual seal. You know, they're fighting for a righteous cause, so to speak. And very similar to, you know, just say, God has said, well, I'm going to protect you because you're fighting for a righteous cause. And so, what do we have? If this is right, then we should have two armies who face off each other. One would have a lot of death, which would be normal in a war, and then we'd have a little bit of death in the army that's been sealed. Very little death. And did we find that to be true? Yes, we did. In the one army, there was very little death. In fact, it was safer to be in the war, in the Gulf War, in the battlefield than it was to be in the streets of New York City or Chicago. In fact, we caused more death than the enemy did. And of course, the opposing army had the natural occurrence of deaths where hundreds of thousands were killed, slaughtered. So we find, interestingly enough, out of these seven things, so far we've got 5 months long, John mentions it twice, smoke coming out of the ground, which darkens the sun and the air, modern weapons, tanks and helicopters, no grass, tree, or anything hurt. Number five, one army is sealed and protected, protected from harm. The other thing it's mentioned here is that starvation present. And this is kind of an old Testament reference. That they would seek, men would seek death, and death would flee from them. It's kind of like saying they would want to die, but they weren't willing to take their own lives. Well, do we have starvation present in the Gulf War? And the answer was, yeah. In fact, I've talked to some people who said the busiest guys during the war and after the war were the guys who basically, said when they dropped leaflets, basically, just bring your AK-47 in and we'll feed you. And they came by the thousands, day and night, because they hadn't been fed in a week. And so we have six out of six that could qualify. The last one was that the leader of this group, named Apollyon or Abaddon, was, like Satan, evil. Well, there wasn't too many people as evil or a leader of an army as evil as Saddam Hussein. In fact, in some dictionaries, Saddam means destroyer or evil leader. Okay? So interestingly enough, in our analysis, the seven identifying marks of this strange war, this five-month war, fit perfectly with the Gulf War. If that's the case, then we are in the seventh seal, because at the beginning of the eighth chapter, eight of Revelations, we started into the seventh seal. And so we would see, according to what the Savior says in Luke and in Matthew, we should then see an increasing amount of signs in the heavens, signs in the stars. We should see great pollutions on the earth. We should see increasing wars. We should see increasing wickedness. And of course, we've been seeing more earthquakes and things along this line. We've been seeing all that. And the sea beyond their bounds. So we see all of those kind of things happening. Well, interestingly enough, we go then to, that's the end of the fifth plague, is those seven identifying things. Then we have the second half of Revelation chapter 9, which is the sixth plague. Now, this again describes another war. This war, though, is 1 month, I call it the 13-month war. 1 year, 1 month, and 1 day. And it's interesting that John gets specific, where before, prior to this, he's kind of generalized everything. Now in these last two wars, he gets very specific. In the five-month war, he says it's 5 months, and he mentions that twice. In this war, he mentions again, that's 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, and 1 hour.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Roger Young. All right, Roger, go ahead. Tell us about this second war that's described.
Well, this...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors, forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Rather, there's an army of 200 million, and of course, he is assuming that the attack is going to be against the United States and against little Israel. And of course, pick up the story there from there. What happens in this second war, this 13-month war?
Well, that's what we've been researching over the last few years. Is you know, are there countries that are planning to use weapons? Well, then we started looking and say, yeah. What, first of all, what countries could actually amass an army, equip and train such an army like of 200 million? Well, the only country in the world that is possible of putting together an army of 200 million is who? The largest army in the world, and that's China. Okay? Now, interestingly enough, they have, as Confederates, they have joined forces over the last 5 years, and we've been looking at tracking this for about 20 now. If that's the case, then they should have Confederates, and they have. They've signed, are now working with the Russians, the North Koreans, and the Iranians. Also, you are now joined by the Venezuelans of the last couple of years, and a few others. Okay, they are all planning, and have leaked the information. I don't know about necessarily. They're so arrogant now, of talking about and planning this war. We document some of this material in our global research analysis of what's going on. In fact, our January newsletter, we put out a monthly newsletter, and it's at globalresearchi.com, where we talked about here's the preparations that Russia is making to attack the United States. And here are the preparations. February's newsletter, we went into detail about here are the preparations the Chinese have been making to prepare, along with some of their plans and their outlines and their strategies. And once you start seeing the evidence, it becomes very clear that that's what they're doing. For example, we predicted 12 events, or 15 events, that were based on this time. Well, first of all, let me get back to the 13-month war. One of the things that we came across in our research was the vision of George Washington in Valley Forge in 1777. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yes, I am.
Okay. In that vision, he sees three wars. And the first war is, of course, the conclusion of the Revolutionary War, where they actually are successful, which is incredible considering what, you know, at the time in the Valley Forge, what they were facing the most best equipped, undefeated army in the world with a bunch of ragtag people who couldn't even put shoes on, and they were going to win it. Then they talk about, then George Washington sees a vision of the Second War. And basically, it pretty well describes, as you are well aware of, the Civil War. But of all of those three wars, the most terrible was the Third War. Now, interestingly enough, we don't have time to go into it in detail, and we might have to do that at a later time, but he says, interestingly enough, you have armies from Europe, which would be understandable, 1700s, you know, Europe is the place for armies. If they were going to invade America, that's where they come from. But then he also describes armies coming from Africa and Asia. Basically, it's the whole world united against the United States, or what the United States was going to become. And he sees that that invasion comes in, he sees the fighting, the war, the bloodshed, and that as the invading armies come and conquer, they're pretty well successful, and just at the very end, just as they're about ready to give up the army that's defending, the people of America that are defending it, then the miracle happens, the heavens open up, and they're assisted by heavenly beings. Okay? So we have some information about that, and there's more details about it, but we get an indication that that part of this 13-month war, though it's a global war, it's going to be happening primarily here in the United States. Now, if our analysis was correct, we should see evidence of doing that preparing. And like I said, we see China preparing in earnestness. We see Russia preparing for these things. In fact, we just had two newsletters out detailing these preparations for this war. They even at one time published a time frame. Then on the other side, we say, okay, why would they be doing that? Well, then you start getting into it from that research. You start getting into, interestingly enough, if those countries are getting ready to attack and invade the United States and Europe and most of Asia, okay, why isn't our country doing anything about it? Why aren't our government leaders doing anything about it?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Roger Young. We're talking about the George Washington's vision that there would be a great war and it would be waged against America. Roger is suggesting that the Russians today are preparing for war with the United States, and I believe that's true. That the Chinese are preparing for war with the United States, and that is true. All of the evidence points in that direction. And then Roger asks, well, if this is true, why aren't our leaders doing anything about it? And of course the answer is, we're doing everything we can to build up the military potential of Russia. We're doing everything we can to build up the military potential of China. And none of these things make any sense. So you pick the story up there, Roger.
Well, you get into say, okay, we had to identify a phenomenon we've observed through history, and that's part of our research, is that we found, and we call these people power seekers. And other people have other words for them, you know, conspiracies, whatever. We call them power seekers, and that kind of a generalized term, and we have identified how they act, their rules that they live by, that they, their typical plans that they utilize, and, you know, just these power seekers are in all levels of society and in all societies all throughout the world. Because one of the reasons we came to this conclusion was that there was be at least one global power seeker, a group of power seekers, that would want to take over and control the entire world. Of course, John talks about that, and the Mark the Beast and the economic plans and things along this line, which we now are coming called the New World Order. So we came to identify this group of people and identify their tactics by calling them power seekers. And they have the rules, interestingly enough, once you analyze that, they have the rules that they apply by. And they live by. And they work by. It's throughout history, they do it time and time again. For example, a power seeker in the past, a very famous one, of course, was Adolf Hitler. And we said, okay, here are the techniques that he used to take over of a society. And so we identify this. And we said, now, if this is a phenomenon that's not just one individual, but if there it's a class of people who use the same type methods, we should see it again. And sure enough, we've seen exactly the same thing, the exact same techniques used in just recently. And we may not want to get into that all right now. And so we were able to say, here are the things that we are predicted. For example, in 2005, based on a lot of this information
that
we
put
together,
hold that thought right there, please. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, as Dr. Stan Rogers is saying, that he certainly thinks that there are power seekers out there, people like Adolf Hitler and others who certainly had a goal, and it would appear that there are people today who have a goal, and you're not hearing about them, you're not allowed to know what it's about, but we are moving towards, eventually, another great war, a third war. Now, are you hypothesizing that this third war that George Washington described is the one that is described in the ninth chapter of John?
I do. We do. Very strongly we indicate that that's part what George Washington described.
But, of course, are you talking about the Battle of Armageddon, or is this a separate battle? Is this the Battle of Ezekiel described in Ezekiel 38 and 39? What are we really describing?
Well, it appears, as I read through the scriptures, the Bible, that there are three wars that John describes. You have first the five-month war, which is the fifth plague. Then you have the sixth plague, which starts with a 13-month war. Well, you know, 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, and 1 hour war. Describes it again in detail. It kills one-third of all the people on the earth, armies of 200 million involved in that conflict. And then he very clearly says at the end of that, that at the end of that, that those, verse 20 and 21, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and they should not, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, and neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their or their thefts. And so then John goes in and starts describing other events, and which include later on the Battle of Armageddon. So based on that, we're saying there are two distinct wars. Now, it is possible, we have to theorize that it is possible that one evolves into the other. But if you look at it logically, it was one of the things that we do is we combine the Christian teachings, you know, biblical teachings, with our analysis of world events. You know, I don't know if you know, I'm sure you know of Joel Skousen. He's an old friend of mine.
We know Joel very well.
Okay, well, interestingly enough, Joel and I were at a meeting about 8-9 years ago. And interestingly, you know, my studies had come primarily from the scriptures, and his, of course, is his great analysis comes from, you know, the world. And we had a great conversation and basically saying, you know, where we were discussing some things, and I said, here's what we see is coming. Here's my analysis and what we see coming. And he said, you know, funny? He says, where did you get all that? He said, well, this is our analysis of the scriptures. He said, that's exactly the same thing I get from my analysis of world events. This is what's going to happen, and this is the sequence. I said, now, he said, it's amazing that we've come from two completely different directions, and yet we've come pretty much saying the exact same things. I said, the only thing we don't know, we know the sequence, and we can see the timing, but the timing can be flexible a little bit. And so, you know, like, for example, in 2005, we said, you know, based on our analysis of the scriptures, we call that our little cheat sheet, here's what we came up with. We came up with 15 things that we would see in the next 3 to 5 years. We would see increasing government corruption and loss of our constitutional rights, primarily because of these power seekers seeking power and getting it and corrupting our constitution. We would see increasing natural disasters, increasing floods and droughts and fires and earthquakes and tsunamis. We'd see increasing abnormal weather patterns. In our analysis, there is no such thing as normal weather anymore. Abnormal is normal. We would see skyrocketing food and energy prices. We would see commodity prices, you know, gold and silver especially, that would dramatically rise. Remember, this was 2005. We outlined this. We saw that there would be a major economic collapse beginning with a recession moving to a depression in late 2007 and continuing into 2008 and 2009. We'd see increasing martial law in the United States. We'd see increasing persecution of conservative Christians in the U.S., primarily due to their opposition to the homosexual and gay lesbian movement, more like Sodom and Gomorrah. We'd see U.S. troops that would continue to be heavily involved in foreign wars. We saw increasing anti-U.S. sentiment throughout the world and in Central and South America. We said that the U.S. border between Mexico and the U.S. will never be closed. In fact, it would be open more. We said that we see Russia and China will continue their arming in preparation for war with the United States and with the Western powers, notably Europe, and they will increase their technological weapons advantage. We'd see North Korea would continue to build nuclear weapons in secret or in open. We see increasing hostility and conflict between Israel and Iran and its surrogates, the Syria, Hezbollah, Hamas. And we'd see a major terrorist attack or attacks on U.S. assets, probably in the United States. It could even be a small nuclear weapon or biological weapon. Now, that one hasn't happened yet, but we still got a couple years left on that. So out of those 15 things that we said we would see in the next 3 to 5 years, so far we've hit 12 of the 15, or 13 out of the 15. So far we lack two. We haven't had a major terrorist attack in the United States, per se, and we have not had real increasing martial law, whereas we're looking for, as we explain later, we're looking for actual checkpoints between, states, for example, even in and out of cities. And we haven't seen that yet.
Well, I think that it's only a matter of time before we move in that direction. I believe that everything is in place, and they're certainly anticipating, they're doing everything they can to make certain that we're going to have civil unrest in this country, and I think that will be used as the justification. We know that they're setting up detention camps. We know that they have been planning this for a long period of time. We even have a congressional hearings with the congressmen who are asking about the plans to suspend the Constitution and round up Americans and put them in concentration camps. And everybody says, well, it couldn't be true. Well, we've got the hearings here, Iran-Contra hearings, way back in the late 1980s when Congressman Jack Brooks was talking about it, when Congressman Henry Gonzalez, longtime chairman of the Banking Committee, was talking about the plan for rounding up American citizens and put them in concentration camps. We've got the video footage. Anybody wants to get it, it's with the video, the concentration camp special, or, of course, the amazing clips, which is part of the concentration camp special. So you go right ahead there, Roger.
Well, and that's exactly correct. You know, one of the things that we've done is we're saying, okay, we've been right pretty good. We're shooting about 90% or a little bit better than 90% right now in our accuracy of what we're going to happen. So we basically said, all right, we need to get, because things are starting to move very, very quickly. And so we said, be ready for these things. And so we said, here's a list of another 25 things we're going to see here in the very near future. And unfortunately, we're seeing many of those happen even faster than we had anticipated. In fact, we called this coming summer, we said there'd be five periods that we see coming in the future here for the United States. And five phases, so to speak. The first phase is what we call a period of economic turmoil. In fact, we call it, it starts off pretty much what we call the summer of hell, 2009. Where we move from deflation into hyperinflation and rapid employment. We predicted several months ago that, contrary to the quote-unquote experts, that this would not, since we call in 2005, 3 years earlier, we said we would see in late 2007 and 2008, we'd see a recession move into depression. We call that exactly right. And now we're saying, all right, we're just barely getting into it, and it's bad, and it's going to get tremendously worse. In fact, we're looking at, if we look at true government figures, of course there aren't very many of those anyway, we're looking at U3, U6 numbers unemployment. Our prediction is that U6, or U3, which is the published one, will probably double, if not triple, by the end of this coming year. At least double. So we're looking at 14%, 15% unemployment. But that's the U3 figure, for example. But if you use the U6 figure, which is a more a broader and better counting of those who are unemployed, which is about 5 points higher than that, we're looking at the 20% unemployment. But then if you use what, shadow stats, shadow government stats, we call it a U8, or they call it the SGS number, which is the figure that people used in the Depression times and how they actually calculated unemployment. They're saying unemployment will actually be, and we agree with this, unemployment is going to rise probably by the end of this year on the SG8 level, or U8 level, to 30%. Greater. And then it's going to get worse even then. So that's the first phase. Now, we're going to see food riots this summer. We're going to see a lot of crime increase. We're going to see a lot of the prophecies happen. And we see, some of the beginnings of that now. We're going to see a flourishment of gangs, home invasion robberies, murders, like things along this line. We're going to see tremendous persecution. One of the things we've identified with these power seekers is they like to keep the people occupied with distractions. And one of that major distractions that mollifies and coddles people's minds and keeps them, is homosexuality. That when they get so involved with that, they focus on that and less about government powers. And we get into socialism and how it comes about, and teach people about democracy and republicanism and going into socialism, fascism, and tyranny. So we go into some of those teachings as well.
Well, before we go on, Roger, I'd like you to go ahead and get your website out and tell people how they can get in touch with you if you'd like to get more information.
Okay, well, you can go to g-r-i.org, O-R-G, or you can go to Global.
You have to give your website at least twice to get first.
Okay, www.g-r-i.
Now, what does that stand for?
Global Research Initiative.
G-r-i or
dot org.
All right.
Or you can also go to globalresearchi.com. Either way, it'll take you to our website. In fact, it's undergoing some major reconstruction right now, but we have samples of our newsletters and some of our research that people can go to and look and download or whatever and take a look at. We're now on a lecture tour. We started lecturing here. In fact, I think you have one of my other partners involved in this research group, Dr. Don Shantz, coming up in a couple of days.
Yes, he'll be on, I believe, Thursday evening. Go right ahead.
Yeah. And his specialty is, you know, his doctorate is constitutional law. Anyway, so we have some experts that we've put together on this who have helped formulate our sequence of events that we are looking for. And we publish a monthly newsletter. And we also have daily updates of what's going on and along this line of what to expect. And, it's getting pretty bad, pretty sad out there. And the other thing we try to do is we talk about how to prepare for the things that are coming and for the events that are coming. And basically it's, you know, we call it invest in commodities. Buy food. Buy bullets. Buy guns. Because something that you can eat, even better than guns and bullets, but then sometimes you'll need to protect those, what you can eat. So we call it invest in commodities, invest in yourself, something that you can have and you can hold. And so far we've been pretty good on our accuracies.
All right, fine. We'll go right ahead.
Okay, so this is, you know, the research that we're developing. Some people say, how come you're so accurate? And the answer is because we've cheated. We started with the scriptures first. We started with the prophecies. And once we've figured out, or at least we think we have analyzed it correctly and have applied the model, then we can see, oh yeah, we're right in lockstep with that. And so the idea is that we're trying to track how close or how soon are we looking at the attack on the United States or the start of that 13-month war, which is a killer war. The other thing that we've been also tracking is that if that's the case, if we're getting close to that war, there seems to be an unknown time frame between the 13-month war and the War of Armageddon. It seems to be a shorter period of time than it was between the 5th war and the 13-month war, or the 5-month war and the 13-month war. And so we're also trying to track that as well, and we see the evidence of that being in preparation. In fact, we've been tracking the developments over there in Lebanon, in Israel. For example, do you know right now that we have Syrian armor and Syrian backed by Russian tanks, Russian heavy equipment, and Iranian operators on the borders of Lebanon? They've been there for 2 months, almost 3 months now. You have, for example, you have the Syrian 4th Armored Division up on the, hang on here, I can tell you exactly where they're at. You have the Syrian 4th Division, the Mechanized Division. You have, in fact, they were just shooting over Israel here. They're getting ready for a massive invasion. Now, we predicted that would happen. We also predicted that Russia would go after Ukraine as one of the next targets. We're also predicting a war between Pakistan and India. And Israel, what they did was, you know, you have Iran wants to have a major war. They want to destroy Israel. And so they've been doing everything they can to provoke Israel to attack them. For them, it's a matter of getting a lot of PR, negative PR against Israel, to convince the moderate Arab states to join them. And they're getting ready for that. Well, one of the ways they're trying to do that is they've been developing these nuclear weapons, and they haven't been doing it in secret. They've been broadcasting it. Why? They want Israel to attack, which gives them an excuse to retaliate. Well, if they retaliate, They basically have said, we're going to do several things when we retaliate against Israel for attacking Iran. One, we're going to close down the Strait of Hormuz. And no ships in and out, or the Gulf of Hormuz. No ships in or out. Well, that shuts down about 80% of the oil in the world, because Russia controls the rest of it, just about. Or Venezuela does. All those that are involved with that do. And we documented that in our January newsletter. The other thing that they promised to do, of course, is obliterate Israel. And they have a couple of nuclear weapons already. They're getting one about one every 3 or 4 months, it looks like now. And with those the massive troops on the Lebanon border, and the Hezbollah in the north and the Hamas in the south, arming and preparing for war, Israel did a really nifty thing. They did a preemptive strike on Hamas in the south.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here. Our guest has been Roger Young, and just talking about their feelings of what the future holds. Well, Roger, you got...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
It's very, very simple information, but it'll tell you the way that you really want to start thinking about what lies ahead. And of course, we're not going to be able to change what lies ahead. We want to educate people, but this is really in God's hands. Our job is to look after ourselves and our families and try to lead people to the Lord if we can. So we have the DVD, Sheltering in Praise. We have an excellent 4-tape set on civil defense. Now, if you're interested in long-term food, why, you better lay them in. You can get them at wholesale prices to ready reserve by giving us a call. We'll send you their catalog, and then we hope that you'll get them through us. That's exactly the same price as getting them through ready reserve. If you don't have your Berkey water filter, get one. Then, of course, we suggest people lay in a supply of health products, of vitamin D, antibiotic, things of that sort. And, of course, if you have medical needs, lay in a supply of the medicines you need from your physician. We live in very uncertain times. The whole world financial system is crumbling, and everything that they're doing in Washington, D.C. is designed to make it worse. The stimulus bill is going to stimulate inflation, it's going to stimulate the profits for the banks, and it's going to stimulate the destruction of our whole structure of our economy. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you and the average person to know. Where can you get more information? Well, let me suggest you go to the Pat Wood's website, augustreview.org, and look up the membership list of the Council of the Trilateral Commission, and you'll find out that the major banks are all part of this little group of 87 men. The people who control the Obama regime, the people who control the wealth of our world, are dedicated to the destruction of freedom and the implementation of a new world order, a new world economic system, a new world currency, and that's why they're going to destroy our currency, and then the new world religion we've been talking about. These things are not imaginary, they're real. If you've not yet seen Pastor Billy Crone's excellent DVD set, Final Countdown, we recommend it. His two-part tape site, and of course there are five DVDs, and each one called Creation, his set on RFID identification. There are four DVDs there. If you haven't seen the new DVD we've just gotten in, The Eye of the Phoenix, you need to get this information, and you need to help us get it out across America. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. And, of course, you can go there. You can listen to us actually 4 hours a day live, 9 hours a day on the satellite feed. And you can get 24-hour satellite feed that way. If you're interested in getting a satellite, you go to our website. And you can find out how to get an inexpensive satellite and listen 24 hours a day. You won't get much accomplished, but you can listen 24 hours a day to our satellite feed. We're privileged to have a voice in times like this. We hope you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Our website is radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, you can watch our DVDs there on our website. You can see, go to the other video website, and you'll see all the links we have to YouTube and other videos we think are important. Certainly you'll want to read our newsletters there, listen to our programs, look at the books and DVDs and tape sets we have, and then your job is to reach other people and explain to them what's happening. And don't concern yourself if they don't listen. Your job is to tell them. One of these days they're going to be coming to you pleading to know what's going to happen. We're living in the most dangerous times that I've seen, and believe me, I've seen them for a long time. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, because if this country doesn't turn back to God, we're going to lose it. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.